All right. Well, good evening, ladies. What an amazing retreat so far. Can we just give everybody a hand? It's been so amazing. I've been blessed, and I know you've been blessed as well. Years ago, I was at a conference titled For Such a Time as This, and even back then, we felt like we were closer to Christ's return. And now, as we look at the world around us, we can definitely see it's getting darker and darker, quicker and quicker. So it's so important for us to be more aware than ever before of the times and the seasons so that we can be sure we're not distracted, just like Tracy said, by the circumstances around us, but that we can be found looking up, expectantly awaiting his return. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Angela, and I've had the privilege and the blessing to be a part of Sally and Pastor Clark's church in Temecula, California, for about 4 years prior to moving here, and I am so honored to be here with you and go before us to prepare our hearts for communion. So before I do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for just allowing us all to be here, for providing this time, and that we made it a priority on our calendars to be here this weekend, Lord. We know that we are here for such a time as this, and that you have words of encouragement to speak to each one of our hearts, and I just pray now that you would open our ears and our hearts, that we would receive what you have for us, Lord, maybe your words, and that we would ponder them in tonight and as the days move on after we leave here. We love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So taking communion is a time to remember that Jesus willingly died for us on the cross. He was humble. He humbly took our place so that we could be forgiven by his blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. And what that means is that he suffered on our behalf, and he not only forgives our sins, but he erases them as if we had never committed them. While there are no words that could truly ever express how grateful and thankful we are, there is an action that we can take, and you've heard it all weekend long so far. We have the opportunity to accept Jesus, the invitation to follow him, to be his disciples, and to share in the Great Commission that he calls us to. John 3:16 through 18 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." He is such a loving, gracious and merciful Father. And if you're sitting here tonight and you think you can't be forgiven, that you can't be set free from your past or the hurt of your past, I want to assure you that he can and he will forgive you. And he won't just forgive you, but he will transform you, redeem you, and restore you. If you're truly willing to surrender your life to him, think back really quickly on Paul's amazing transformation. Previously Saul of Tarsus, a madman, a mocker, a murderer. But God met him right where he was. He called him, transformed him, and Paul made a choice to serve the Lord his God that changed his and countless lives forever. Are you in need of that forgiveness, that transforming power and saving grace? A while back, I heard a podcast by Chuck Swindoll, and he said, and I quote, "Regardless of how we look, by nature, we have a dark past. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Regardless of what you've done, no one is beyond hope. Even though your past is soiled, anyone can find a new beginning with God. It's never too late to start doing what is right. Don't get stuck on who you were. Remember the hope that there is in Christ and the hope that we have for tomorrow." End quote. All throughout Scripture, we can read about how he makes all things new. He brings beauty from ashes. He turns mourning into dancing. He makes a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. His mercies are new every morning. I can go on and on. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. He is always working in us, refining us to be more and more like him. We are not defined by our past mistakes or failures. If you're a new creation, you are the righteousness of Christ because of his blood. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Ephesians 1:7. I love the reminder of the beautiful song that says, "Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow." You see, it doesn't matter who you once were, it matters who you are in Christ today. He can and he will set you free. Ephesians 2:1-10 says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Are you walking in that purpose? The days are getting closer and closer to his return, and we are not promised tomorrow. We need to live as if today's our last day, especially in these days, in these times. I love the reminder of the parable of the 10 virgins. In that parable, the bridegroom represents Jesus Christ, and the oil represents the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9 says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." This is also why he said to the 5 foolish virgins, "Assuredly, I say to you, I never knew you." I remember vividly at that retreat years ago, seeing that parable acted out by young girls. And I will never forget the lasting impact that it left on my heart in that moment when the 5 foolish virgins were left behind when the bridegroom arrived and the door shut. The room was dead silent, and all you could hear were sniffles all around the room as those words were spoken, "Assuredly, I say to you, I never knew you." A similar verse is found in Matthew 7:21-23, where he says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Those are words I never want to hear, and I'm sure you don't. Revelations 19:7 says, speaks of the marriage supper of the Lamb, and it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." So just like a bride on her wedding day, the church, his bride, will be ready for the bridegroom, Jesus. Verse 9 goes on to say, "Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God." All throughout Scripture, we're told to watch and be ready. Matthew 24:42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." Verse 44 also says, "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." And 2 Peter 3:10a says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." Take a moment and ask yourself, honestly, if he came back tonight, would you be found like the foolish virgins or like the wise virgins ready to receive the bridegroom? If you're not sure, I encourage you to take the next few moments to share your heart with him. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He is so patient with us." Before we prepare our hearts for communion, I'm going to read the portion of scripture where Paul speaks of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 29. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. As you can see, communing with the Lord and partaking of the bread and the cup is to be taken seriously as we examine ourselves before him. Psalm 139, 23 through 24 says, 'Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.'" This is such a meaningful and intimate time with our Savior. And if you haven't accepted Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, and you would still like to now, you can do that quietly in your seat by asking Jesus to come into your heart on your own, or you can ask your table leader for prayer as well. Let's go ahead and take some time now to go before the Lord in prayer, confessing our sins to him, remembering what he did for us on the cross and the price he paid for our sins, thanking him for the promise of eternity with him. The worship team will come and play a few songs, and you can come up anytime to either table on each side of the stage to get your elements and go back to your seat and take communion on your own or with someone at your table. And if you need prayer after, you can ask your table leader or someone at your table to pray with you. And when you're done, you are free to go back to your room whenever you feel led. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we are able to come and commune with you, Lord, that we're able to come and remember what you did for us, that we confess our sins, Lord, that you forgive us, Lord, and that you change us and that you transform us, Lord. That we remember partaking of the bread and the cup is a sacred time, Lord, that we shouldn't take lightly, Father. We thank you for this time that you've given us. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for just this amazing weekend that you've had for us, Lord. May your words go with us as we leave this weekend tomorrow. And may you continue to bless each and every one of these ladies here. In Jesus' name, amen.